When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome on into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. The Saints falling 20-19 to the Washington Commanders in Week 15 action. The Saints now 5-9 on the season. And this was a tough one, Cajun Cannon. It definitely started out rough with this offense. They made a change. Things kind of got a spark to get rolling, but in the end, still coming up short and a tough one in the loss column. Well, now there's the proper intro, Cajun Cannon, instead of me rambling on. But yeah, we're in the Ciroc Point After here and want to get Bobby's take on, obviously, a 20-19 hard-fought loss to this Washington Commanders team.
Well, I don't know. We still can't finish. You know, did you think we realistically going to make that 2-point play? I don't know. Maybe I'm a snake bit.
Fingers and toes crossed.
No, we're going for it. We're going to be aggressive. But I was like, whoa, we made it? I'd have been like, oh, that's outstanding. Well, what a comeback. And like Coach Rizzi said, it truly was a tale of two halves. The first half was embarrassing. I mean, like, we didn't even look like, especially offensively, did we look like an NFL team? I mean,
no, it was worse than preseason action, it felt like.
No, it looked like Jake Haner. It's like we're trying to play the junior varsity player. No, he might have to go to UFL.
JVJ.
I mean, you know, Coach Rizzi wouldn't be like this, but Sean Payton would have been, okay, I've seen enough. I've seen enough. We're going in a different direction. You know, but I understand they wanting to play him, give him an opportunity, because, you know, when they match up in practice and you know, the games are different, but Jake Haner looks like an NFL quarterback at times in practice. So you could say, I don't know about a starter, but he could be on the roster. But I think he might have to go to the UFL if he wants to get playing experience and develop maybe to eventual NFL quarterback. But I think he's like a poor, poor man, Chase Daniel. Remember, like, Chase Daniel, you got, now how you keep an NFL lifestyle, you got to play well in preseason and be emergency quarterback. That don't mean you're a starter. No, Jake Haner will never be a starter. The jury's still out on Spencer Rattler. I thought, look, I wanted to give Spencer Rattler an outstanding. Now, you have a great comeback that is outstanding. But I can't give him an outstanding performance. I can say good to very good or some the moxie that he has. But I don't know. He was 10 of 21. Isn't the rules changed for the forward pass? That's not even 50%. So that's not good. So when you look at it and you're going to break it down and it just shows you the value. I'm not saying he's bringing any championships here. But don't you see a difference like in Derek Carr? They have some people, they texting you, Steve, and all that. And what was that ridiculous text you got, like, with Jake Haner?
Seeing on the Twitter sphere that's saying Jake Haner and Derek Carr are going to be sharing time at McDonald's at the drive-thru window.
What are you talking about? Can't even not only can Jake Haner not hold Derek Carr's jock, he can't even wash it. He can't even clean it. What are you talking about? That's just hating on Derek Carr. That there's no reason. Derek Carr in his career is on the level, and you can look it up, like explosive plays to over 20 yards and over 40 yards. And they all up there, you look for a decade. Derek Carr has skins in the wall. Now, I don't know about winning a championship, but that's what he's accomplished. I'm not saying he's Matthew Stafford or, Kirk Cousins. That doesn't mean you're going to win anything. But to compare, whoever said that, they don't know football. And then they can say about Jake Haner.
They're just being nasty and evil.
Yeah, just being nasty and evil. No, there's a difference, I would say, so far as a gamer and what it takes. No, Spencer Rattler's head and shoulders, to say the least, above Spencer Rattler. Now, what does that mean for the future? The future could come quick. And now, that's a big challenge. I don't care if Derek Carr was playing. If we had Chris Olave, if we had Alvin Kamara, if we had Taysom Hill, if we had all hands on deck.
Preach.
To play the Packers on Monday night in Green Bay, we win that game. That'd be one of the greatest upsets this season in the NFL. So, we're going to see what's going to happen Monday night. Now, I say, well, Bobby, we could play in the cold. I know we can. Because you know why? Remember, it was the coldest game the Saints ever played. We beat the Cleveland Browns. But the Green Bay Packers ain't the Cleveland Browns. So that's it. It doesn't matter who you're playing in the cold. And I know, you know why I know Derek Carr's not playing? I'm going to save this for the pregame in Green Bay. Derek Carr is terrible in cold weather. I have to get this in my notes. I might even say this in the postgame tonight. Derek Carr is like 0-11 or something when the weather's a certain temperature. So I know Spencer Rattler. Just based on that, he got a broke hand dealing with concussion. Spencer Rattler is the quarterback against the Packers on Monday night.
Book it.
I'm going to read this later during the show before we get off there. But I can tell you, Derek Carr has been like horrendous in cold weather. And guess what? It might not be Buffalo cold or blizzard, but it could be. It's the frozen tundra. So it'd be interesting to see Monday night football at night. The sun's not even out. So you know, damn it, you know, you up north, you know, if the sun ain't out, you know it's going to be cold. So that'll be interesting. But, it got to the point where we were kind of joking, with Jake Haner. I don't even know how you describe that first half. I mean, it was like some people probably said, man, I want a refund. So what am I doing at this game right now? I want a refund. Again, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this ineptitude as far as we had two first downs. We were 1 of 6 on third down. We had a total net yards of 38. This sounds like a fifth grade game or something. And we had 20 offensive plays. Jake Haner was 4 of 10. He had an interception, quarterback rating of 16. Now, we talk about being overwhelmed. And, the tsunami, and then it's like, oh, well, you might have to go play in the UFL or something and develop some. But, you know, we were joking. You know, I remember we were practicing against the Patriots and all that, and we had a media game. Now, I said, they said, oh, Bobby, you want to play? I go, y'all don't, but I don't need to play. We got Sean Fezzant. Sean Fezzant's one outstanding flag football quarterback. Well, I'm like saying, and, you know, had Scott Zolak. He was like representing the Patriots media, and then he's throwing a bunch of picks and all that. So we crushed him. I mean, they said, oh, man, we crush New England Patriots. But the reason why I was saying that, because Sean Fezzant
was more efficient.
More efficient way than Jake Haener right now. Just more confident what he was doing. But like I said, tale of two halves. You look at that. The Saints did give up. You got to give them a lot of credit. I did say I didn't think the Saints would win. But this is a backdoor cover. Charlie doesn't like that. I said, take the Saints into 7.5 points. Because I just know it's the NFL. Well, 20-19. Now, you know what else? And this is very discouraging. And we make the two-point play. We win when you know, scoring defense. We give up 20 points or less this season, and that's our only wins. We were 5-1. If you'd have told me before the game that Daniels and Washington, the Commanders, they're only going to score 20 points, say, yeah, we got a great chance. We're going to win that game. I think we're going to win. Well, now we're 5-2. I would have taken that. Coach Rizzi would have taken that. Man, Washington, now it didn't look like that in the first half. I said, no, they're going to be in the 30s. But no, our defense, boy, speaking of the defense, you got to give a lot of credit. I'm going to tell you what, DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan, they played like they were young. DeMario Davis, 14 total tackles, showing a lot of passion and emotion, 9 unassisted, a sack, 2 tackles for a loss. Cam Jordan, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss. Carl Granderson had a sack, quarterback hurry, and a tackle for a loss. Now, Jane Daniels, we sacked him 8 times. But it didn't seem like 8 sacks. You know, like when you run around and you get like 0 yards. That's not – I'm talking about legit
that, right,
sack.
That should be just a gain of 0,
yeah,
not
yeah,
a sack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had legit 5 or 6 sacks.
Correct.
And so to me, that was impressive. Because coming into the game, you know, I would say we got to be – if we're getting after the opposing quarterback, you got to be in high 40s or low 50s to be amongst the best in the NFL. Well, we had only 29 sacks coming into this game. Well, today we had 8, so we had 37, so that was a big jump. So I'd say 5 or 6 was definitely a legit a sack total against a quarterback like Daniels. Now, the one run, when he looked as smooth as silk, I thought on this play, the LSU Fighting Tiger, Jane Daniels, was playing the Florida Gators. It was sort of a 124-yard run. He was like Houdini. And then Holly was weaving and going, I go, man, he looks smooth as silk on that play. So I was definitely impressed with that. You know, staying with the defensive side, two players that I think is a better pro right now. Now, you can't give up on a rookie or, you know, how you're trying to develop, but you look where you drafted. Where was Ugo Amadi drafted? Charlie, you know, was he a free agent or something? I mean, I want to know where Ugo Amadi was drafted out of Oregon. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. He went to University of Oregon. He probably got a little name, image, and likeness before he even had that. You know,
fourth rounder in 2019, Charlie, let me know.
Well, he played like where Kool-Aid was drafted to me. Kool-Aid gets picked on. Kool-Aid right now has not impressed me. Now, it's only his first year. But to say that Kool-Aid is going to be like Paulson Adebo or Lattimore, I'd say slow your roll. Not so fast. But Ugo Amadi, I was impressed with him. And his maturity as a pro, and how he's getting better. He was third in tackles. He had 7 total tackles. He had a sack. He had a quarterback hurry, a tackle for a loss, a pass defended. So I give props out to Ugo Amadi. Now, you're always motivated to play your old team, whatever. But let me see. What did Lattimore do? Did they even call Lattimore's name? It seemed like he was chilling out there. You know, I don't even think Lattimore made the stat sheet. And he was out there, I saw number 23, right?
Yeah, correct. No stats at all. No tackle, not even an assist.
Well, maybe we're afraid we didn't go at him. And I don't know. Well, that's a pro when you don't even have to take a shower after the game. You're playing a game, and I'm like, I don't, you know, I know what I have to do to stay involved. But, no, Washington is counting on Lattimore down the road definitely to be If they're going to do anything, a thing, and upset people, they're counting on Lattimore. But when you look at, like, you playing your old team, that's why I brought this up with Lattimore and the Saints, and then Chase Young. I thought Chase Young played with a lot of passion. He ended up having three total tackles that were unassisted, two sacks, two quarterback hurries, two tackles for a loss. Now,
he's been dialing up them pressures of late.
Yeah, no, he's like number four in the whole NFL when you look at quarterback hurries, quarterback pressures. I can elaborate on that a little more later. But well, how you compensate him? What are you going to pay a guy like a Chase Young? Because I think he's proven, you know what I like about Chase Young, and that hadn't been the case before with Davenport or with Peyton Turner. I don't know. Does Chase Young play all the time for the Saints? I mean, he might have had pass injuries when he was at Washington, and then he went to the 49ers. But you know how he has to be ready for every game, and that's all he's compensated? Chase Young's been outstanding. He's been available so you can hold him accountable. Now, looking at how the game unfolded, go back to overall with the team, and it was terrible in the first half. Again, like third down. Third down, they were 6 of 9, 67%. That's terrible. We were 1 of 6, 17%. And then we didn't do any better, even in the second half. We were 3 of 11, 27%. We have not been good offensively on third down. So and they were 9 of 17, 53% when the game finished. That would be leading the NFL, basically. But like I said, the first half, they were unbelievable. Well, that's why they had time of possession. It was 2-1. It was more than 2-1. They had the ball basically 41 minutes, and we had it 19 minutes. The whole game. So that was because we were so far behind in that first half. Now, I'm encouraged by this because I thought they would have ran the ball better against us because we were giving up 5 yards a pop. They only got 3.9 yards total. So he said, Bobby, that's basically 4 yards. But no, what I was encouraged, their running back, Robinson, he had over 100 yards last week. Well, they ran him. He had 21 attempts, 65 yards, only at 3.1 average. So better than we've been giving up 5 yards a pop. We average 4.3. I got to give Kendre Miller credit. Now, you know what I want to see in Kendre Miller? How about you play every game the rest of the season? I don't know. How hurt is Kamara? I mean, he had to come out. You know, he caught the touchdown pass.
Right, we just know he's dealing with the groin issue. Nothing about the severity yet.
Well, that groin, yeah.
Yeah, never
I don't know, hip flexor, groin and all right. That, hammy, I don't know, soft tissue, all that kind of stuff. So he played in the Packers, Raiders, Tampa Bay. So here's your opportunity, Kendre Miller. I thought Kendre Miller was very good. You know, he's been averaging 4.4 yards when he's played this season. We averaged 5.1 yards today, now 9 carries. So if Alvin only had 5, so that might, if Alvin's not available going against Green Bay, that might be
it's Miller time.
Yes, I'm not saying times 2, but it might be at least a half a dozen more carries. So seeing he had a long gain of 17, but that long gain of 17, the offensive line finally blocked up the expectations. At times, then you get, I don't know, kind of ticked off or worried. Because we were all like, oh, offensive line's coming back. And I talked to Deuce about this in the pregame, you know, against the Giants. So, well, we hadn't seen this since the Eagles. And then Deuce made a good point. Well, Cesar Ruiz and all concussion, we're not really practicing. So they're not really gelling. Because we were terrible running the ball against the Giants. What were we, like 2.8 yards? Today we're 3.9. Okay, it's a little better. But the point being where we need our offensive line more to be winning in the trenches. So they were better than they were against the Giants. Okay, what are they going to do against Green Bay? You know, that's across the board. Because at times when I looked at it, like pressure, I don't care who was back there. It's not like we can necessarily make a sandwich back there. That I don't, and it could be Derek Carr. It could be Jake Hayner. It could be Spencer Rattler. If you look at the Commanders, them having 3 sacks. I'm looking at Payne, Armstrong, Chin, you know, who end up getting a sack. So, I think offensive line, where we're at right now, considering we don't have Taysom Hill, we don't have Chris Olave, we don't have Rashid Shaheed. Now, if you don't have Kamara, well, man, come on, offensive line. We have to lean upon you, and we don't know who's playing quarterback and all that. I think, you know, we've done well, and I got to give him credit, that I think one position that we've stepped up, especially since Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed has not been available, is the tight end position. I think our tight ends have contributed. Where and I'm not even you know, it was thank God we got Valdez Scantling, you know, that one catch Spencer Rattler, I just think he said hell with it, I'm freaking throwing it, because he hung in there tough, threw that pass down the middle. I think the Washington guy thought he was getting intercepted, and Scantling came down with the catch. Now he got targeted seven times, he only had two catches, a 32 yard average. No, he's always has a high average, that being Valdez Scantling, but I'm looking at. Okay, Foster Morrow, the tight end position has benefited, and Juwan Johnson. Now, Foster Morrow, four targets, four catches, 19 long gain, 19 was the most he gained.
Right.
He had a touchdown. Juwan Johnson, three targets, two catches. He had a long gain of a nine. So the point I'm making is that we targeted the tight end seven times, and they had six catches. That's one thing about our top receivers being out. The tight ends have been able to step up and to get it done. Now, if you look at it, you know why else we should have won the game? Washington kind of shot themselves in the foot. Remember I tell you, nine penalties or more, or 100 yards. Okay, so they had nine penalties, 84 yards. That's like a touchdown. So that's like 6 points. I don't know, we lost 2019. So, realistically, now we had 4 for 36. No, you're saying the first half. We did win the penalty battle, but we won the penalty battle in the whole game. That's why we should have been able to overcome, because that could come back to haunt Washington. To have nine penalties or more, 100 yards, you hovering around that. No, you're giving up 6 to 10 points.
Yeah, they definitely let the Saints hang around.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, you know what was outstanding? And I'll bring this up to Coach Rizzi on the coach's show. Like net punting average, both punters were, I don't know, maybe outstanding is not the right word, but they were very good. The Washington punter had 44 yard average, and look, Hayball was like 43.8. That continues, and you know, you're punting the ball inside the 20, or you can look inside the 10. Like Hayball had two inside the 20, and Way had one inside the 20 with that net. But both teams were outstanding in the coverage units. But I think it was a gallant effort, but you don't get no style points for playing hard. You're a pro. Come on, you're getting paid. It was as horrendous the first half, and we fought back in the second half, just fell short 20-19. But listen. I don't know. You think we're going to beat Green Bay Monday night? Now, I think out of all the games we played this year, I think at Green Bay on Monday night we have no chance. I'm going to challenge the coaching staff and the players. I'm going to tell you right now, at Green Bay, I'm the founding father of Who Dat Nation. I think we have no chance. I'm not saying, oh, Bobby, come on, you're going to raise the white flag? No, I'm just keeping it real. Now, I hope I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. How about you prove me wrong? Saints players and coaches, and then all of a sudden shock the world and beat Green Bay on Monday night in the frozen tundra.
Share your take with the Cajun Cannon here on the Ciroc Point After. It's 504-260-1870. We shall take a break and return right after this, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. We are here till 6 p.m. here on the Ciroc Point After. If you're looking for the Pelicans taking on the Indiana Pacers, that action is going on 8:70 a.m. currently. And looking at things, there's 5 minutes left in the first. Indiana's got a 14 lead currently over the Pellies. We'll be keeping you updated on that.
The Pelicans are worse than the Saints. I'm just keeping it real. Now, who the Pelicans better than the Wizards? Or the Jazz, maybe, in Utah. Now, nothing to write home about. Nobody's winning no championships. But I still think, best case scenario, the Saints would be out of 32 teams, middle of the pack. And maybe better than, there's 32 teams, so we might be like around 20th, somewhere around there. Well, right now, where the Pels are at, again.
Bottom feeders.
No, they're worse than the Saints. Right now, expectations, and you wanting to be in the hunt and win a championship. No, I think the Pels are maybe better than the Wizards and the Jazz. Okay, but I know injuries and all that. I don't know. Both teams dealing with injuries. I mean, whatever. I'm just saying where we're at. We want to support teams.
We've been cursed this year, Bobby.
No, curse. I know. You know who said that? Did you see with Dyson Daniel?
Atlanta? He went off, right? He said he was glad to be out of New Orleans.
Who's getting off with the Atlanta Hawks? The Atlanta Hawks ain't winning anything. Now, he don't know about curse and all that. I don't know. He's from Australia. But all of a sudden, you know, he's better his offensive game. He's better his offensive game. We all know he can play defense. And he's, you know, look how his skill set and offensive side he's got. Now, it's a Saints show, but now I'm doing Pels. But I don't know. We the flagship station, the Pels and Saints.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, there's more hope right now in the Saints than the Pelicans, I can tell you that.
Checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Got a bunch of callers lined up. Wanted to sound off here on the Ciroc Point After. You can too. It's 504-260-1870. Hector in New Orleans. You are up first after this 20-19 Saints loss to the Commanders. What's up, Hector?
Hey, guys. I will say this much. Coach Reedy's got them playing to the end. At least I got that. That's something going good for us. I like
without a doubt
to the end. Considering now, one thing going forward, like you, Bobby, I don't think we got a chance in Green Bay. But I want to start seeing some other people's start stepping up, like Kendra Miller. This should be his time to start stepping up. Considering okay, Alvin Kamara is now probably going to be injured, so I need to step up my game. And I like to see some of the other wide receivers start stepping up, because we can't depend on Marcus Golden for the rest of the season. But someone else needs to step up, because, like you said, you know, with the season, with the way it is, and us being shorthanded, now it's time for people who want to be on the team and who wants to up their profile.
Well, Hector, without a doubt, you want to be a pro and you want to last. Okay, Pettis, here's an opportunity for you. You know, I think you know he had a couple of catches. He had that long gain of 12 yards. How about Austin, Kevin Austin? He had one catch. Cedric Wilson, he's outstanding on special teams and all that. He's the one that threw the touchdown pass. No, when you think about that, you know, almost we had the point right now, so lack of weapons, we have to run trick plays to score touchdowns in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you'd want it to be like, well, we ran that play, and look, as they put us over the top with a win. But think about this. Spencer Rattler didn't throw when you look at that touchdown, it was a trick play. Now, he got it, the one at the end with Foster Morrow, but the one to Kamara, that was a trick play. Now, how many of those trick plays throughout an NFL season actually work? Now, you might want to keep it in your back pocket, but we're so desperate, we're just trying to get a win and a great comeback. But that's where we're at right now. So, like Deuce said in the post game, man, you want to be a pro? You playing for your livelihood. You know, you might say, okay, mathematically we out. I'm putting it on easy street. Then you're going to have to go get a real job because you're constantly being evaluated, whether it's for the Saints or another team. So you need to kick ass like Chase Young. Chase Young, Okay, how about you build upon what you did in this game? You want to get paid in the future? Because other teams, look, he's on 1 year deal with the Saints. I don't know if the Saints are going to pay him. But you had two sacks today. How about on Monday Night Football you get a couple more sacks? Or, you know, you finish this season strong, where maybe you're hovering around double-digit sacks. All of that comes into play. So top to bottom, you look at the roster. I can tell you what, you know who earned next year just based on his play? Ugo Amadi. He's like, he provides depth. But Ugo Amadi's in the NFL based on what he's done since all of a sudden he's not just contributing at the depth of the secondary, but also like on special teams, but what he's done as a player. And in Kool-Aid, you can't be too cool for school. You got to drink the Kool-Aid, and you got to get things done and finish the season strong. So you can't say, oh, I was just a rookie. I can tell you what, you know who's playing hard? Double D, DeMario Davis. Cam Jordan was playing hard. I know they're in front of the home crowd that we have one more chance after the Packers game when we play the Raiders. Can you come up? Now, Carl Granderson, he's one that will be part of the future for sure when you look like on the edge. But you know what's crazy, Hector? And now think about this. Because we talk about this. This goes back to Buddy D, Buddy DiLiberto, going way back old school. When all of a sudden you think, like, okay, where are the Saints are at? What are we going to do in the future? And they kind of giving up on the season to give the fans hope. And it was almost like, okay, who are we going to draft? What? The season ain't over. What you mean, who are we going to draft? We don't know where we're picking. But then before you know it, because we love football 365, we love it every day of the year. Bobby, what do you think? Who the Saints are going to draft? Well, you know right now, when you say best player available, yes, it is best player available. I don't know if it would be 8, 9, or 10. Wherever you pick, it's going to be best player available. You know why? Because almost every damn position we need a player. Think about this. Adebo, are they going to pay him? I don't know. His leg's broke. I mean, all that. And then Lattimore's gone. Kool-Aid. I mean, I hope Kool-Aid works out. Alante Taylor. I mean, and then not as dominant, you know. So you look at the whole secondary. Look at the safety. Honey Badger's old. So you look at safety. DeMario Davis, old linebacker. You look everywhere on defense, whether it's the D-line, off the edge, D-end, the whole defense. Who's best player available? Who are you going to draft? And then you look at offensive line. I mean, I don't know. It's like, do we have a dominant offensive line like we'd want to have? I think the jury's still out there. Quarterback? Yeah, I don't know. I'm talking beyond next year, but if you see a future quarterback, look at Jaden Daniels. Wide receiver, tight end. You know, it's the only position who would be on the bottom of the totem pole is running back.
Running back, right.
Because Alvin Kamara still got a lot left in the tank, and Kendre Miller
has shown promise. As long as he can stay healthy.
Yes, yeah, so that's why, who are we going to draft? Well, we got a lot of holes. So
but running back.
I think what I've witnessed right now, and because I've said this, our young, great players, not good or very good like Chris Olave and all that. I'm talking about great, what would be McCoy at center. You know, who could start for every other team, whether center, guard, and all that. So right now, I would say right now, whether y'all want to believe this or not, y'all, you're just being a hater, Bobby. The Who Dat Nation, we got to regroup. I'm trying to look at the glass half full. I'm starting going towards half empty, that it is truly over. Right now, where we're at, Coach Rizzi is going to coach in the NFL years to come. Look at Vic Fangio. Didn't work out as a head coach. He's doing an outstanding job for the Eagles as a defensive coordinator. Coach Rizzi is going to coach 20-some years in the NFL, a special teams guy. I don't know if he'll never get if he get another chance as a head coach, but I'll tell you, it is officially over. Now we got to go bury. You know, Sean Payton used to bury the coffin. We need to bury Sean Payton and Drew Brees' coffin. It's done. Them days are over. We ain't building upon nothing what Sean Payton and Drew Brees did. It's over. We got to go far from here. We ain't in the damn postseason and all that. And you got to pinch yourself and be a realist. You can't like want to live in the past. Now you could dwell on the past and reflect. And so, Paul, you know, we can get there again. But as far as where we're at right now, no. Because I just talk about who we're going to draft. We got a lot of holes. I'm just telling you. And we need some young studs to come up and maybe reestablish that like we did and build upon 2006 and then eventually get into the Super Bowl of the 2009 season.
Not over as the Ciroc point after, but we will take a break. Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc point after, celebrate life responsibly. The Saints falling 20-19 to the Washington Commanders. Now 5-9 on the season. Remember that the day after the Saints score a touchdown, you get a free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line where you get to sound off with the Cajun Cannon, Hollywood and Thibodeau. You are up next. What's going on, Hollywood?
Hey, Steve. Hey, Bobby. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. What you got, man?
Hey, Bobby. We lost a tough one on the Dome Friday. Again, sure, we had them, yeah.
No, I know. It went down, but you got to finish. You know, that's what the Saints, yeah. You got to finish. You got to finish like the Chiefs. Yep. And that's, you know, it's right. Amazing. And no matter what level, high school, college, or the pros, and then you look, how do you finish? You know, it can be so right. Close, but so far, that's the way it is. But a gallant effort by E.D. White, but you got to give Coach Tierney, you know, like a legend in the coaching realm and, boy, years of service. Wherever he's been, they've won. You know, Shaw, whatever, then he resurfaced. Ponchatoula, the Green Wave, he made them relevant. And then coming back to Shaw. It does make a difference. And, no, I want to be entertained. When I was not entertained, because I like high school football still, watch it. Is Carr a college team or what? Are they playing like Central and North Louisiana? Don't mess with the South. I mean, Ash, Alexander Senior High. I mean, hello. They didn't even look like on the same level as Carr. And then you look Central versus Ruston. Well, look, they have to run the damn clock. The game's out of hand. I see entertaining high school game like E.D. White and Shaw. You got to give E.D. White a lot of credit. They were hanging. But again, so close, but so far.
Hey, Bobby, the first half by the Saints offense, that was a garbage performance. You don't think the offensive coordinator like Kubiak could have did some more opening up or the offense or something? I know the offensive line was getting beat bad. Nobody really didn't want to play the first.
I can tell you what happened and why it started going down. You know, like, because we can't afford, like, Jane Daniels, they can all of a sudden have a penalty and they can recover because he's so explosive. With Jake Haner needed all the help he can get.
Right.
If you look at it, you remember we had third and three. Haner hits Wilson, Cedric Wilson, plus 15. Penalty Lucas Patrick. Bad start. Now it's 3rd and 13. Haner gets sacked, minus 11 by Payne. That's when I said, oh, no, we cannot afford to have that kind of start. And then you look, Jane Daniels leads them on a 12-play drive. They go 56 yards. He had that McLaurin, that 16-yard touchdown. We're now losing 7-0. And actually the best pass, I used to make this throw a lot, and you can look it up. Now, it was to Eric Martin, not necessarily to Alvin Kamara. But you know how that slant, and you're throwing it between the coverage and throwing it through the forest and all that? When Haner hit Kamara, plus 29 yards, I think that was the only good play Haner had kind of in the first half. And then after that, he got sacked 9 yards. All I know is I'm going to toot my own horn. I played a whole season. And in 16 games, I got sacked 15 times. You know, even look at Jane Daniels, how many times he's gotten sacked. Even if it's not a legit sack, 5 times and all that, you got to get rid of the ball. You got to get rid of the ball. So, I don't know, the clock in your head. You got to know where your outlets are and the ball's coming out. But after Haner to Kamara, and you look what unfolded in that, it was like minus 9 yards and then it was 3rd and 22, Kamara minus 3. No, there's no continuity on the offensive line. And then, you know, it was downhill. It was, then you look, and then all of a sudden we go back offensively. Haner gets intercepted. Boy, you know, it's a good story. Steve, I think you are reading this to me. I want you to comment on this. He is the real Haitian sensation. You know, we had Stanley Jean-Baptiste, remember how, but he looked the part. He was not the part. But you know who's the part for Washington? He's number 0. How do you pronounce that name? Saristal?
Samristil.
Yeah. Okay. What you were telling me about his background from Haiti with his dad and all that, and how he escaped Port-au-Prince, and then he's at University of Michigan. Can you remember? You read it to me.
Yeah, his dad worked at a radio station, and they were getting threats during an election. I think it was 2000, and they ended up leaving.
He had to leave. They were coming to kill the family, and they got to get out of Dodge, and then he went to University of Michigan. Well, isn't America great? Isn't it great to be in the United States? He comes here, goes to University of Michigan. Now he's a stud for Washington,
boom,
the
right.
nation's capital. What? Only can happen in the U.S. That's an American dream right there. And taking advantage of an opportunity. So that's an immigration story that you want to cheer for. I can tell you that.
We are here on the Ciroc Point after Saints going down 20-19 to the Commanders. You can sound off 504-260-1870, taking all your calls. So stay tuned right after this here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point after, was keeping on in the NFL scoreboard, which is brought to you by Miller Lite. The L.A. Chargers, Bobby, have a 17-13 lead over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. There are 33 seconds left till halftime over there. We're still pulling for anybody playing anybody in the NFC South, obviously, even if our chances are stunk.
No, we are stunk, but whoever wins the NFC South will stink. I mean, think about this. Who wants to win it? Look at Atlanta, how they've choked.
No, they got their own issues. People are calling for panics over there.
Yeah, and then you look at Tampa Bay, I'd say, well, they could, like, not three-peat, four-peat.
Yeah.
Whatever, and then, so what Steve, now it's going to be four straight season. We're not in the playoffs. Now, we're not mathematically eliminated, so no, but you got to be realistic and say it is what it is. Drew Brees and Sean Payton, they ain't never coming back. And they can have people in the organization that is a big part of that, helping us win championships and helping us be relevant. I still say this all the time. Even though we won the Super Bowl, the greatest team in Saints history was 2011.
Man.
I don't know how we lost. To show you how good we were, that we would wish for those kind of days. We had five turnovers at San Francisco. Five. We were down by 17 points. Took the lead twice under 5 minutes, and we lost. That team, and then a Nolan no-call. And I said, oh, we're going to be back. And no, it's hard to get to the Super Bowl. So, now you might say, well, Bobby, that Nolan no-call, that's not that far ago. But it is, because you have to consider the players. I mean, the only, you know how you live in the past and you reflect, like I said before. The only player, I still think, because he don't get beat up, who's still in the NFL from the Super Bowl team is Thomas Morstead.
That's correct.
Punting for the Jets. And Thomas Morstead is outstanding. He's a pro. He knows what it takes. But that's why, hey, we have to have two. Charlie was bringing up the outstanding draft Washington had to see where they're at right now. What you would say, if you look like post-Katrina, you'd have to say the 2006 draft and in 2017. I think I have the years right. And we almost need that right now. We almost need like a quick fix.
That'd be nice.
We need a fix. We need something where it ain't just one guy, or maybe even two. How about a handful? We need a handful to contribute at a high level.
I'd like to find the fifth rounder like a Puka Nacua out there.
Yes. All that. Like, look at Colston. Coaston was a seventh round. He comes
Unreal,
from
right.
He comes from Hofstra. They don't even play football no more. We need that kind of luck to help us out going forward now. Who's running the draft and all that? Do we need to have an outsider come in?
Right.
You know, people might question because Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, they do trust Jeff Ireland. Jeff Ireland's a pro. If he's not with the Saints, he'll be somewhere else. Does Mickey Loomis come like Mr. McKay with the Falcons? And all the blank, does he maybe move up, take a different role with Ms. Gale? We need some outside influence right now because it's kind of stale what occurred with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Again, them days are over. Where are we at right now? I just look at what we need in the draft. It's not like, oh, we pretty solid there. I said this before the season. But, boy, I can tell you what, we can hang with anybody in the secondary, especially cornerback. But then right now, what? Like I said before, Paul Sardibo got a broke leg. How is he going to come back? Do the Saints want to pay him? Lattimore's now with Washington. So, we have a lot of needs, a lot of wants. So, I don't know. To me, I mean, you know, it'd be like a movie, a fantasy. We're not going to wait that long. It would be like Arch Manning. Archie Manning's grandson is the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
See,
in
don't
the
say
future.
That. There's already people saying we should tank next season for Arch. It's like, that's not next season already.
Well, yeah, and he ain't even played at Texas yet. He has to play. You got to put some skins on the wall. I'm just talking about like a movie. Would work out. Oh, the grandson,
right, yeah.
The grandson of the legend Archie Manning. Look what he's done with the Saints. Can you imagine if Arch Manning would play for the Saints and had a career like Drew Brees in a Saints uniform? They might put a statue of him at Jackson Square by Andrew Jackson in the French Quarter. If Arch would do that.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Taking a break and be right back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Before we keep chugging along here on the Ciroc Point After, we're going to let stations identify themselves by pausing 10 seconds right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints fall to the Washington Commanders 20-19 in the Caesar Superdome. Now sit 5-9 on the season. And what's bugging Bobby about today's game is brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Besides that final outcome, Cajun Cannon, what's bugging you the most about this game?
Well, I think we have to be more opportunistic as far as taking the football away. You know, we were +2 for the season. Now we're only +1. So we're a -1 in the turnover margin. You remember last year? That's why it's amazing. And I said this before the game. I said before the season in August. We'll win for sure 9 if not 10 games if we could be +11 in the turnover margin. And then you look at scoring offense, scoring defense. I talked to Jeff Duncan. I elaborated on all of that. But that was a key. So we've gone the opposite direction. I think maybe the highest we were like +4, but instead of building on that, we're now down to +1 for the season in turnover margin. And I said this in the pregame because this is outstanding. You know, we had more interceptions than touchdown passes that we've given up. You know, we had 13 interceptions on the season, which is fifth best. In the NFL, you know, the likes of, like, for instance, Detroit at 14, Pittsburgh 15. You look at Minnesota. Boy, you want to know why Minnesota's at 20, where they're at, hovering around. Now, and we'd only given up 12 touchdown passes. Like, Detroit only given up 11. Then you look at the Bills game. I haven't watched it, but I just look at the score. But we had more interceptions than touchdowns, where now we've given up more touchdowns than interceptions because Jane Daniels ended up throwing 2 touchdowns and having a quarterback rating of 118.5. And compared to Jake Haener, a quarterback rating of 16.2, and Spencer Rattler, 84.4, basically 84.5. But, you know, that was something that you can look upon and be confident with your defense that you have more interceptions than touchdowns you've actually given up in the passing game. But now that's no longer the case going into Green Bay, as we've now given up 4 touchdown passes and with 13 interceptions. Yeah, that's kind of bugging me how we have not taken the ball away as much, because we had to live by that, be opportunistic, and build upon that turnover margin on the plus side.
That was what's bugging the Cajun Cannon here on the Ciroc Point After. We shall take a break. When we return, more of your calls on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. Your turn to sound off right after this with more on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. The Saints fall to the Washington Commanders 20-19 in the Caesar Superdome. Got all kinds of hoodats lined up tonight. Going to check out on our Oakland Jewelers talk and text line right now. Chad in Metairie, you are next up with us. What you got for this evening, Chad? Chad, you there? All righty, we shall move on to Mike in Mid-City. What you got for us tonight, Mike?
Yeah, Chad might be taking a nap. I don't know. What you got, Mike?
Uh-oh, strike two. Strike two. Next up, James, you're on the line. James, what you got for us tonight on the Ciroc Point After?
So guys, it's funny because I know you, most of you guys not really watching it, following the draft right now because guys are still basically playing because of the playoff thing. But you mentioned running back, Bobby. Let me tell you.
No, that's the last on the list. James, don't you think that's last on the list considering all the other holes we have?
No, we got a 29-year-old running back.
And he's a stud. Okay, hold on, James. Hold your point. He's only behind Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley total yards from scrimmage. So why wouldn't you roll with him next year,
Bobby?
Huh?
He can be a part of a running back group.
No, you have him and Kendre Miller. We got to wait to see what Kendre Miller is going to do. Come on.
But no, Miller is unreliable. I'm not buying that. I mean, I'm not buying that. Let me give you a name, and you haven't seen him play probably right
Who,
now.
The Boise State guy?
No, Scatterbull. I like Boise State guy, but Scatterbull, you will probably wear his jersey.
No, from Arizona State. Is that the guy from Arizona State? Yeah, I love his name. Yeah. I love his name. No, he's hardcore.
He's not a first round pick, but he's the kind of guy that set the table. We need guys that will set the table, and not only that.
How about a offensive line? Don't block for him. He might be a set of scatter boos, a scatter cane.
He can break tackles. He's leading.
Okay, that's true.
Okay, but here's another guy. Here's a guy that, I mean, I know most of you guys like him, and I'm not knocking him.
Who?
But he's not good for my vision for the team is. The wide receiver that's out on concussions, we need to bring him into some kind of compensation.
Chris Olave?
Yeah, we need to trade him and get some kind of compensation and get a guy that can really catch fast.
To me, he's a little bit better than Brandon Cooks. I'm on your side there.
He's soft.
Hey, you preach it to the choir here. Let me tell you, Chris Olave could be a team's number two receiver for a lot of teams. Look at Brandon Cooks, all the different teams he's played for.
But if you do want to sell on him, you can't do it right now when he's at a low. His stock is low considering his injury history.
Exactly.
No, not now. But before the draft.
He ain't no alpha.
Before the draft, somebody's going to want him because he's super talented. We're going to get a decent pick for him. We could pick up a tough possession receiver, 6'4", 6'5", or something like that, could catch passes.
Who's coming back? How about Valdez Scantling? He's coming back on the team. I know that.
Yeah, but he's not tough.
He could be the three guy. No, he could be the number three guy, Valdez Scantling, if you have a top two, without a doubt. He's a big receiver.
I'm going to tell you another guy. Because right now the draft is basically, they call it a suck draft because it's not good at the group. At quarterback, it's not great at offensive tackle, but it's super good in running back and off linebacker. Let me tell you this: before this particular game started, week 14, whatever it is,
15.
Henderson was leading the league in sacks.
Correct.
And Bourne over in Philly is fourth in tackles overall. He might get MVP or a bit. I'm not saying he's going to be MVP.
No, Zach Bonner,
defensive MVP. But he's good enough right now.
He could be a Pro Bowler.
A pick. He might get a selection. Is what I'm trying to say. You know, and who it all falls on Mickey Loomis. I mean, you know that old adage, you know, the police commercial. If you see something, say something. I'm saying this right now.
Well, we've been both saying it. We're not
going nowhere unless we get rid of Mickey Loomis.
We ain't going to get rid of James. You have to move him in the organization.
I'm saying we got to have somebody to make decisions. Give him a bonus or something like that. Put him upstairs, whatever.
No, you let him go to the owner's meeting. He goes to the owner's meetings.
Tampa has beaten the brakes off of us. You talk about they win the division every year, and every year
it'll be four years in a row. Right now, they're in the driver's seat.
We were six slots ahead of them, but they still draft better than us. You know, I personally like Fuaga and the tackle, whether he's left tackle or right tackle.
Trevor Penning?
I like him, but no, not Penning. But
Fuaga.
For Tampa right now, the center that they picked seven slots behind us. It's just as good, if not better. The center.
You talking about their center is better than us? You think their center is better than McCoy? You think their center is better than us?
Yes.
I know. You think their center is better than McCoy? Eric McCoy?
Yeah, because he's not popping a pigeon. And they draft better than us.
Well, I ain't talking about the draft. I'm talking about individual player. McCoy would start for every NFL team, I think, whether it be at center or guard. Now, if you like your center, then you put him at left or right guard. No, McCoy is the one. We were old school, and we had the linemen. But when you had Teron Armstead, when you had Jari Evans, when you had Carl Nix, when you had Max Unger, you want me to go on and on? No, we don't have those cats no more. We're not winning in the trenches. Now, Drew Brees and Sean Payton get a lot of credit, but that's where the battles were won and lost. I can tell you that right now. So, I don't know. I guarantee you, if you would put as great as Drew Brees was, he's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. What if you put the best offensive line we've ever had with the Saints and Derek Carr was the quarterback? I guarantee we'd win double digits.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Get into all those calls right after this, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Reminding everyone, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global, innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after today's game is at $31,190. Thank you, Venture Global. Going back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And we got Mike back on the line. Mike in Mid-City, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, man, thank you for taking my call, man. Two things I wanted to say. First, you know, I'll never go for two like that. You know, I'd rather have 10 shots than have one shot. You know, I think it's really a selfish move. You know, but
Mike, how about this? If you're going to go for overtime, you think that even though you don't win the coin flip, maybe you could hold them to a field goal because it's not sun net. You know, you got to score a touchdown, and you know we only gave up 6 points the second half. So that's a good argument there. It's not like all of a sudden we couldn't stop Washington and they were just scoring touchdown after touchdown. So that is a good point when you bring that up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd rather have 10 shots than have one shot. You know,
You got one shot.
You're going for two. And then, like I said, I think it's a selfish move from a coach's standpoint. I think it should be a team decision. You know what I mean? Even though he's a head coach, you know, but I still believe it should be a team decision.
It's not a democracy. The damn head coach is it's a dictator. We're going to do what I want to do. And you're going to live or die on the sword. I mean, we're going for the juggler, or are we going to lose it? And Coach Rizzi, he wants to have an impactful win.
He couldn't afford to lose no more games. But
Amen. I agree with that.
Right. But getting to Derek Carr, Bob, how many seasons have Derek Carr won 10 games? You aware of that? Do you have how many times he's won 10 games in a season?
Derek Carr, I would not say is a championship quarterback, but he's a legit NFL starter. Now you have to look at the supporting cast, where he's been at with the Raiders. But the Raiders were sorry, and I'm not saying Derek Carr was the quarterback to take him over the top. Now, Josh Allen, he had two seasons. He had, if I can recall, he had two seasons when
early,
all of a sudden
early,
he's
early
won 10
career.
Games. Yeah.
Yeah, well, his first two years. But after that, he's been stellar. Carr has been in the league, 10, 11, 12 years?
And all of a sudden, he's been explosive. But when you look at, we want to see the ball pushed down the field, he's not being checked down Carr.
His third and eighth season that he had 10 wins.
Okay, third and
or
eighth.
Or more.
So when people want to say, he's just been a checked down Carr. That's not fair. It's not a true assessment of what Derek Carr has done in the National Football League. If you look at Derek Carr, now
I'm in the playoff games every one.
How you want to be entertained? If you look at 25 plus yard completions, this is a decade. You look at 40 plus yard completions. Okay, now this is not an opinion. Russell Wilson is one. You know, all of a sudden, Sean Payton ran Russell Wilson out of town. Look how the stability. He's brought a different aspect to Steelers offense compared to Justin Fields, more explosive. Russell Wilson's one, Matthew Stafford's number two, Derek Carr's number three. This is a splash chunk plays at 40-plus yards over a decade. Now 25 yards. Russell Wilson, one. Kirk Cousins, two. Derek Carr, three. And then Matthew Stafford's like number six. Aaron Rodgers is still playing. He's number five. So I don't know. Did you win or lose the game? But what I'm saying, you're not saying that about Jake Haener. We're giving Jake Haener an opportunity. Jake Haener, come on. Jake Haener's like the junior varsity compared to Carr. And Spencer Rattler. What? Spencer Rattler won one game? You're talking about Derek Carr. How many games Derek Carr has won? Spencer Rattler, he can't work miracles. And look, he's fighting. He fought his ass off the second half. I give Spencer Rattler a lot of credit. But he wasn't even a 50% passer. So everybody got to slow their roll. Come on. I'm not saying Derek Carr is the answer to bring us to a championship. We got Spall with Drew Brees. All you hoodats that wanted to run Drew Brees out of town before, we wasn't going to win anything, but he kept us relevant majority of the time. Thank God. You remember we had that lull with like 14, 15 and all that when that occurred?
And when we were back-to-back-to-back 7-9 seasons?
Yes. If we wouldn't have had Drew Brees, our defense sucked. We didn't have Drew Brees. We might have won two or three games in those seasons. We were top three for sure, top five offense, and then our defense was horrendous. They were like in the bottom four. It was amazing that we even won that many games.
Wasted offense, you look at it now.
Yes, yes, exactly. So that's why I'm not saying Derek Carr is the answer to win a championship, but he could be that bridge to the future, bringing more stability. Now, I know Haener. He could be on a team, but not a starter. Spencer Rattler, this jury's still out. I think Spencer Rattler's going to have an opportunity in the most adverse conditions in Green Bay on Monday night against that kind of team. Okay, and it might be, they might say, well, you know, now we're mathematically out of the playoffs. Let's see what Rattler's going to do. Okay, they work out of Green Bay. Let's see what he's going to do with the Raiders at home. You know, he had a great second half in the Dome against Washington. Let's see what he's doing with the Raiders. Hell yeah, we should be. The Raiders are sorry, like the Giants. We should be the Raiders, then you can play Tampa Bay. So they might want to see not only what they have in Haener, but what they have in Rattler. But as far as more stability, and you want to be hovering around 500, Derek Carr is the best option. And then you have to look at the salary cap, all what comes into being. I'm just keeping it real, whether you want to accept that or not.
We're picking up the pace here on the Ciroc Point After, trying to get all your great calls in. We'll be right back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Checking out that Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We got Longshoreman on the line. What you got for us today, Longshoreman?
Hey, thank you, Mr. Steve Geller, Bobby Abey, and my buddy, the Cajun Cannon. Thank y'all for taking my call, man. How y'all doing this evening?
Well, Longshoreman, I know you're getting ready for the holidays. And, that first half, if you were a Saints fan, it was like a brutal.
You
probably were looking, well, what am I watching? You know what's crazy, Longshoreman? I told Steve this. You might have had people. And you might have a honey-do list, or you got to go run errands. They might have said, okay, I'm going to go do this. And then all of a sudden they come back, well, the Saints have a chance, so you watch the end of the game. Or they might have taken the approach because it was the build-up. Oh, I'm going to go run errands, and I'm going to come back and watch the Buffalo-Detroit game because that might be the Super Bowl teams in New Orleans. I mean, it was that bad that first half.
But Bobby, that was one of them halves where – I don't know, man. If I had to, I'd go maybe cut my grass twice. You know, just run over it once, cut it down a little bit, and then go cut it again. You know what
right,
I mean?
Two
cuts. But look, Bobby, I don't know if you've ever been kicked by a horse, and I have not been kicked by a horse, but the pain from that is, I don't know, man. That was painful.
I haven't gotten kicked by a horse, but I've been stepped on one. That hurts.
I told Charlie, I said, that ranked up there. I don't know if it was this year, last year, but I remember watching a half that was so daggum ugly. And I think that one, though, is probably one of the worst halves of football I've ever watched by the Saints.
The thing about Longshoreman, you want to be entertained. We had two first downs.
Two first downs, 38 total yards in the first half.
Yeah, 38. What is that? We had 20 offensive plays, 38 total yards.
That was terrible. Pee-wee League, you gained more than that.
Right.
Ridiculous, man.
No, that was not entertainment. I agree.
But I'll tell you what, anybody said, I don't know, maybe I misunderstood a little bit of the caller I was listening to earlier, but running backs are really not our main issue right now. Kamara hopefully will be back.
Right.
I thought Kendra Miller looked excellent. He had some good hard runs, and now can we keep him healthy? That's the question.
Yeah, well, he has to be tough. He has to learn to be a pro. Nine carries. He averaged 5.1, 46 yards. He had a long gain of 17. Now, the offensive line decided to block on that long run, so he was hitting and getting it. He needs to be involved. Can you be that multi-dimensional back like Alvin Kamara? When you talk about yards from scrimmage as a pass receiving running back, he's shown in practice he can do that on wheel routes and all that, but you got to do it first. But when he said, you just got to be humble. You come into the NFL, I don't care what you did in high school and college. You come to the NFL, it's a different animal. You have to just work hard. Just keep your eyes focused, and you have to have blinders on, and I'm just going to be a pro. But when he came, before he actually done something, I'm coming here to take Alvin Kamara's job. You better slow your roll. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
How about you just contribute and help Alvin Kamara? Well, now you're going to have a chance. Look at Alvin Kamara. Now he's been a workhorse this year. Okay, Kendrick Miller, what are you going to do against Green Bay? What are you going to do against the Raiders? What are you going to do against Tampa Bay? Notice your opportunity to shine. Okay, you know how you shine? Like at TCU? Okay, here's your opportunity. And why you showed the scouts that you're going to be the guy?
You know what? I'll get off the pot.
Amen. I agree.
But, Bobby, let me get your opinion on this. On that last play, going for the win, I had no problem with that. I think it was, it's a gutsy move. But I think at that point and where we are right now, where the Saints are, you had to do it. Go for the win. Because while you're down there, you know what's going to happen. You know, win a coin toss. I mean, the daggum game's probably over with. But I had no problem with that decision. I think they made the right call. But I don't know if I would have went with a pass. I think I would have tried to run right at him.
Well, you could say that because we did gash him at the end of the game.
I would have ran Miller right up the daggum middle.
No, we did gash him with Miller at the end of the game. That could the chess match, the right play on at the right time. But you know what's going to happen, Longshoreman? So what if he gets stuffed? What kind of imagination? What in the hell? What kind of play call is that? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. The bottom line is you got to execute it.
You're right.
If you do it, you're a genius. If not, then you second guess. And that's why we have the show, The Silver Slipper, to second guess. Because we're going to ask Coach Rizzi, but he said they were going to be aggressive. Since he's taken over, he's taking the approach, hell, at overtime, I'm going for two.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the right call. Yeah.
Well, you just got executed, then it's a different story. Then all of a sudden, what a great comeback. One of the greatest second-half comebacks in Saints history, considering, tale of two halves, what happened in that first half? That was an embarrassment. But then all of a sudden, you fought back. And you got to give Coach Rizzi a lot of credit, how the team hung in there and we fought back. I mean, Washington thought, we're going to get this done. This is going to be kind of easy street. And, Steve, now we're on those lines. We got to get this, like you told me, player of the game.
Our Ciroc toast to the player of the game today, Cajun Cannon.
Well, Longshoreman and Steve, I'm looking at, I got to give it to Double D. I like old school pros, and he producing the numbers. I didn't think this would happen the second half. I thought, the Saints ain't coming back. But I don't know. I'm not on the team. I'm just observing.
Right. It was just like, how bad are they going to lose by now?
Yes. But they fought. You got to give Coach Rizzi a lot of credit. The leaders on the team. We only gave up 6 points the second half.
No, we don't have quitters. That's for sure.
And DeMario Davis was a big part of that. If you look at DeMario Davis, led the team with 14 total tackles, 9 unassisted. So that one tackle he made, and he got the fans fired up. You know, when he does that little, like, I don't know, arm thrust?
Yeah.
You know, that even got me fired up. I'm in the press box. I go, that's the kind of passion you need. Now, how about, you know, you need 34, 35. How about a 24-year-old having that going forward? Then you could count on them for half a dozen years or maybe a decade. But he also had a sack, two tackles for a loss. So I want to give that to DeMario Davis. You know, saying we already did what's bugging me, but then I look at DeMario Davis because that was significant because it took that kind of effort because we weren't having a chance to come back in the scoring defense. Only giving up 6 points in the second half and 20 points. And considering we've only had 5 wins in the season, I said this in the opening, we were doing the point after, that the games the Saints have won, we were 5-1. When we gave up 20 points or less, we were right there, but now we're 5-2. And like Coach Rizzi said, and I agree with this totally, if you'd have told me before the game, the Saints are going to give up 20 points against Jane Daniels and the Washington.
Oh, we got that.
I would say, well, hell yeah. Shame on our offense, Jake Haener or whatever. If we only giving up 20 points and we don't win, then we're not doing our job offensively. I know you might say, well, we don't have all weapons. We don't have Chris Olave. We don't have Rashid Shaheed. We don't have Taysom Hill. And then Alvin Kamara goes out. But, you know, we had our offensive line and that stability. Oh, Derek Carr, he got a concussion. He broke his hand in 2 places, non-throwing hand and all that kind of stuff. But still, in the NFL, in this day and age, you hold an opponent to 20 points or less. Hell yeah, you should win.
Plus, the 4th-best scoring offense in the NFL, they were holding in check.
Yes, that you have to look at. Like, that's a great point, Steve. If you look how efficient Washington has been, a fourth offense, and then how we stopped them. They were running the ball, people. Okay, we come back from the break. I'm glad Charlie's playing that. But I'm going to bring that up, how significant that was that we did the second half, considering where Washington was ranked in the NFL amongst all the teams.
Music's playing us out. We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After, but we'll be right back with more, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here after another tough one for the Saints. They lose 20-19 to the Washington Commanders inside the Caesar Superdome. They were down 14-0 in this game. Cajun Cannon fought back and made it close at the end. Had a chance at 2-point conversion, no good. End up losing by 1 point.
Well, Steven, you look at, I don't know, it started out, you know, the dome field advantage. Okay, the Saints are 2.5-point underdog. And I'm just talking from a Vegas perspective. Oh, Derek Carr, a broken hand, concussion. And then it was like 7, 7.5. Then it went even up to 8. That's a lot of points in the NFL. You know, when you look at college football and like point spreads and all that, you see like, oh, 25, 30 and all that. You'd have to, because you have, I don't know, you don't have any equality. When you look at, because everybody's a pro. So whenever you're seeing like more than a touchdown or double digits, that's a lot of points. Even though like the Chiefs might be significantly better, but they end up winning, not necessarily covering. But it's just in general when you look at the NFL. So now the Saints, that was a backdoor cover. It didn't look like that way in the first half considering they're down 14-0, but they only give up 6 points in the second half. But you know what I'm proud of? And this is what Washington has accomplished throughout the season. And we did better. So from a defensive perspective, that's what I'm saying. I still say shame on the offense. You only gave up 20 points. Total net yards, they were getting 378 yards a game. That being the Washington Commanders led by Jane Daniels. That was number 5 in the league. Well, today they only had 326. Okay, they're going to run the football how a lot of teams, you look at this day and age, they want to establish the run to help out, you know, the quarterbacks and keep the defense off balance. And if you look at it, now, the Saints, we were only, that's why I think I'm kind of encouraged what we did defensively. That's why I gave DeMario Davis and his leadership, I thought we were hanging. And especially what we did that second half and how inefficient we were in that first half offensively. But when you look at it, we only gave up 3.9 yards a run, so that's 4 yards. but that's better than we were giving up 5 yards a run. But you look at it, the Washington Commanders only had 137 yards rushing. You say, only, Bobby, what are you talking about? Well, they were gaining 157 yards a game, which is number three in the NFL. So they had the third best rushing attack at 157 yards, and they got 137. You go, well, Bobby, that's not much difference. Yes, it is. It's a monumental difference when you think about it. So when I look at, like, total net yards, what we did defensively, and rushing defense, I just think was outstanding in how we stepped up. For instance, okay, you look at rushing yards and how we only gave up like 137. You know who's 1 and 2? And look how relevant they are in the NFL. The Eagles are 1, the Ravens are 2. The Eagles at 189 yards a game, the Ravens at 179, and Washington was at 157. And Detroit was 4 at 155. So that was impressive what we did defensively. It was a hard-fought effort. They played for Coach Rizzi. They played hard that second half. They did not give up the ghost, but you got to win. What we have not done this season, we have not finished. We have not finished. That's just been and who has finished? And they don't necessarily cover. Oh, and everybody wants to poo-poo them. The damn Chiefs.
Always.
But they win. No, did you win or lose the game? I don't know. They look ugly winning. Give me an ugly win versus, oh, we played hard, whatever. We look good. No, did you win or lose the game?
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Be back with more, so stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Checking out our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line after this black and gold 20-19 loss to the Commanders. Greg in Texas, you are up. What you got for us, Greg?
Steve, how you guys doing? I just wanted to speak about the guard play on the offensive line. I think that's been suspect for a while.
Yes, that's a great point. That's a great point, Greg, you make right there.
And I just wanted to say a few more things about that. Ruiz is average at best.
Amen.
He gets beat a lot. Sal DeVarius are missing in action a lot. And Lucas Patrick is just a backup. So, again, we got to do something about that guard play. I'm not going to say we're going to get somebody like Jahri Evans and also
Carl Nix. Yeah, yeah. We don't have them cats.
we could get better than this. And then also, I think it was a mistake for us, although he wasn't a good practice player, to let A.T. Perry go. I think he could have helped us because he was a game player. He played well in the games, you know, the wide receiver that, you know, we cut. You know,
right,
I think he didn't practice well. I know he wasn't, but he played in the games
well. Well, I think A.T. Perry was just glad to be in the NFL. I don't know about his work ethic. And, you know, you don't have to have the best work ethic in practice, but you got to be a stud in the game. I played with Andre Rison in Baton Moon. Man, Andre never wanted to practice. But you know what? I threw him 15 touchdown passes in 1 year in 1993. He'd always show up in the game. You give me a gamer instead of all airline. I agree with that. But A.T. Perry didn't have enough skins in the wall to take that approach.
Yeah, he caught a couple of games in the balls in the game. I thought, you know, last year that he did pretty decent. So, but I understand what you're saying. But definitely, I'll go back to guard play. I think the guard play has got to get better because our offense will never get better because that rush up the middle, as you well know, as being the quarterback, is an issue.
Right,
can't step up, and then you know some quarterbacks get really nervous about that, and I can see that where they can sidestep maybe the going around the tackles or what have you.
Well, we don't have Jane Daniels at quarterback where he can be work magic and be a magician.
Right, right.
Oh, we don't have Lamar Jackson. Hello, come on.
So bottom line is, I think that should be one of the highest, you know, points because, you know, on the draft schedule, regardless of what we do at this end of this season or not, because it hasn't been adequate, you know.
No, it's not so sexy, but an offensive lineman would sure help.
Well, I can tell you it's not sexy because we always want the receiver or the skilled player.
Right.
But, Greg, that's a good point. I don't know. Right now I'm speculating we could pick 8, 9, or 10. Whoever cat we picked at 8, 9, or 10, that son of a gun ain't no development.
No, you got to plug and play, right.
Plug and play and be a stud. You know, it was like a stud. I'm just thinking. I don't know why this came to my mind. I look at Tampa Bay. Where was Tristan Wirfs? I think he's from Iowa. Where was he drafted? Hasn't he been steady from the get-go with Tampa Bay.
Correct.
And they left or right.
Injuries, obviously.
Yeah. But left or right, how? And then I look at like Ramchek. Now he's not playing anymore. I think he's retired. But we got him. You know, we lucked out in the latter of the first round a pick. But you think like any time where we're going to be picking, that son of a gun has to work out. He can't be like we're trying to develop
a project
3 or 4 years. No. He has to be be impactful. Now, because he is a first-round pick, he has to be impactful that he would start for almost every team. Bob, I wish he was on our team. And, hey, look, it might be like, okay, we drafted him as a tackle. It might be an unbelievable guard or whatever on the offensive line. Whatever route you go at the positions, this guy has to be a flat-out stud and is going to help the team in 2025 where he's not the weak link.
We are closing out the Ciroc Point After. Stay tuned for the last words right after this here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're winding down our day, week 15, a 20-19 Saints loss to the Washington Commanders. Before we go any further, though, let's pause 10 seconds. We'll let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Closing things out here on the Ciroc Point After, Cajun Cannon, as we say goodnight here, Tampa Bay up big over the Chargers, 30-17 right now. They will have a comfortable lead in the NFC South, but we got all more important problems with the division. Say goodnight to everybody, Cajun Cannon.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Come to the Silver Slipper and went to Kenya. Second guess. Who that? Go Saints!